in terms of foreign policy than the Clinton administration, although I would disagree with his foreign policy as well. So overall, I'm very disappointed, and I plan to vote for Jill Stein because I believe New Mexico will win by double digits. However, if the race does seem close, unfortunately, I will have to vote for her, which is not something I'm happy about.
Josh Brody, I want to thank you for being with us. Sounds like a very interesting half hour you had when you went to have a meal at the Mexican restaurant in Santa Fe. I thank you for being with us. I'm Amy Goodman. Happy birthday to Angie Caron.
Lightning injuries can lead to permanent disabilities or death. In 20% of lightning strikes, victims die. 70% of the survivors suffer serious long-term effects. Remember, you are in danger from lightning if you can hear thunder. Learn more about lightning safety at www.lightningsafety.noaa.gov. Lightning kills. Play it safe. This message is brought to you by the Iowa High School Athletic Association and your local National Weather Service office. Lightning injuries can lead to permanent disabilities or death. In 20% of lightning strikes, victims die. 70% of the survivors suffer serious long-term effects. Remember, you are in danger from lightning if you can hear thunder. Learn more about lightning safety at www.lightningsafety.noaa.gov. Lightning kills. Play it safe. This message is brought to you by the Iowa High School Athletic Association and your local National Weather Service office. Lightning injuries can lead to permanent disabilities or death. In 20% of lightning strikes, victims die. 70% of the survivors suffer serious long-term effects. Remember, you are in danger from lightning if you can hear thunder. Learn more about lightning safety at www.lightningsafety.noaa.gov. Lightning kills. Play it safe. This message is brought to you by the Iowa High School Athletic Association and your local National Weather Service office. Lightning injuries can lead to permanent disabilities or death.
Okay, yes, yes. There's a lot of lightning this time of year, of course, but we're not going to play that four times. I don't know what's wrong with the Digicart, but you're listening to 90.1 FM. That's WUSB Stony Brook here on Long Island, broadcasting from the Stony Brook University campus here in the Student Union. And what else? Oh, yeah, we're streaming at WUSB.FM. There's also playlists, schedules, and other information there. You could also donate if you were so compelled, because this is community radio. But lastly, I'll finish just by saying it's Tuesday, it's 6:02, that means it's time for Off the Wall. Listen up. yes. Good evening, everyone. This is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle, and your host, Emmanuel's right there.
Did you know that lightning is dangerous?
Lightning is very dangerous.
I didn't know that until today.
Look, top of the hour is a little rough. Today's my I'm new to radio day, but I'll get better. By the end of the show, I'll be a professional.
I don't know why you're blaming yourself.
I blame myself.
It's the damn machine that decided to play the same announcement 3 times in a row.
Yeah, the DigiCart is problematic at times.
Whoever invented that piece of technology really should be drawn and quartered as far as
I'm
concerned.
It's an old machine.
It's Soviet is what it is.
It reminds me of the 90s because it has a zip drive. Anyway.
I don't like devices. No, I'm sorry. I have to say this. I don't like devices that have more buttons than you could possibly ever want to use. This thing has, I'm counting 12 buttons on the right and 3 buttons on the left and a knob. And you only need to hit play and stop and various things like that. What are all the other buttons for? And you can't even tell what they are because they're all rubbed out because they printed on them in the wrong way.
Well, it's engineers. They want you to invest in their design, and they want you to be consumed by this one device. What they fail to realize is that there is a plethora of devices in places, and they need to work well. The ergonomics and the fluidity, dare I say, of it all needs to be less cumbersome, but yeah, that's a lot to ask for.
It needs to integrate into existing technology and old technology as well.
Yeah.
It's so limited, you can only write a little bit of information about each thing you play, not enough to know what it actually is. And what's that thing up on top? What's that little
part
of it? Yeah, what is that thing?
That is a slot for a zip drive. You remember those?
A zip drive. Wow.
Well,
I thought it was a 3.5-inch disk. It's for a zip drive.
No, it's for a 100-meg zip drive. Now,
Who uses these?
I was just going to get nostalgic for a
second. No, go ahead. Get nostalgic. Okay.
Well, I was always one of the guys who had the, I don't know if you remember these, but the Easy Drive, which was the competitor. It was SciQuest. They were competing with Zip. So the Easy Discs were 135 megabytes, not 100, which was what the Zip Drive was. I remember those days. Those were great. And then they had the Easy Flyer, which was 230 megabytes. And, and that just went on and on from there. They were great, though. They were like spinning discs in like a little cartridge, like actual platters in a cartridge, and that's where you would save your files or your music or whatever larger things, maybe a whole bunch of applications that you like to load onto your computer.
The DigiCart is something we use for announcements and station ID. If it's a station ID, we could just demonstrate to the people that what the DigiCart is capable of.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Hey, this is Luke Winslow King, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
Now, you see, Luke's not really here, or he's not really piped in live. That's a recording. It's
48 kilohertz. That's the frequency range, or whatever.
Why do we need to know that?
AC2, I think that's some kind
of... This thing can only hold maybe... it's like a Twitter tag. It's 2 lines, and not even as wide. And one of three vital characters are 48K. We don't need to know that. And on top of that, they waste 8 characters on the time, 00:00:00. You don't need double, nothing is more than 10 hours on a DigiCart.
It should snap those 2 columns away because it knows it's less than a minute. Because you don't need that many zeros. And the only reason I think the 48 kilohertz is important is because if you play 44 kilohertz, I think it slows things down depending on what system you're on. I don't know. Audio engineers out there can write us and explain.
You don't need to have everybody looking at that when you have so few characters.
I feel like if you had something in this machine, it would be playable at the right speed. So that seems
But
irrelevant.
You know what? It's the broadcast standard. It's the standard. The DigiCart, everybody uses it. And it's terrible. But everybody uses it because it's the standard.
So we're told.
8-year-olds could write better software than this.
Yeah. I'm sure there are several 8-year-olds who've probably designed better hardware. But yeah, this is a hardware solution, and there's a lot of other things you can use. There's software now. I'm sure because originally the station had these carts. I have one up here.
Cartridges.
It's up on the shelf.
Yeah, bring it. Yeah, drop it.
Grab it. Yeah, it's right here.
Drop it on the table. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It's like, you know, everybody knows what an 8-track cartridge looks like for some reason, even though no one's had one of those in 100 years. But these things, they look kind of like it, but they're different. They go around.
It's a loop.
It's a loop. You play it. There's this tone that only dogs can hear that tells it to stop. And we don't hear it. We just hear the announcement, and then it stops, and we press the button again. It plays again. And you can do this. I once spent a full day playing it, waiting for it to do something else, and it never did because it was a loop. I learned that. It's a very little bit of tape in there. That was an old system that worked better than this new standard because you could write more on the label, for one thing, and it was a lot easier to, sort them, and they didn't play three times in a row.
I'm looking at how it loops. It's kind of interesting. It goes back and forth and back and forth. It's cool.
Yeah. Okay. So God help you if you have to fix one of those.
Right. So that's magnetic media. That's sort of the early days. Now we moved on to this digital machine that you toggle through, and a little display shows you snippets of titles.
Why is the cartridge in the station when there isn't a machine that can play it that's been here in over 10 years? Yet we still have the cartridge just sitting here. We're hoping someday somebody's going to play it somehow.
I don't want to be cynical. I'll just get cynical if I explain why my theory as to why that is. But
because they kind of come back.
The short answer would be I think that the station has history. It's got history.
Yes.
So we will be moving to a new facility, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think that promo will be computerized, so we won't have this machine. This isn't going to come with us.
We're all going out on a limb. You know, it's on a tree. Didn't they tell you this? The new facility is on a tree on the western part of the campus. That's what they think of us.
Well,
it's a tree. Treehouse Radio.
I'm happy to report that we have larger fans in here now. That's also an upgrade to the facility. So we're staying cool on this hot Tuesday evening, and we've got a heck of a program. We've got a lot of interesting topics and stories. Lots going on in the news. I feel a little out of it. So anyway, I'm done talking about the beginning of the show. And
musical guest coming in. Yep. We're going to have another feature interview with Donald Trump coming up. But you know what? All that can wait. We can even do that some other time. Not a big deal. I'd rather just have a little conversation here.
Okay.
About the little mundane things of life.
Well, yeah, the mundane and not so mundane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for that too. I'm happy to just chat and let's just open some of this stuff up. Let's unwind a little bit because we kind of we're very busy. We unloaded a truck today.
That's true. We unloaded a truck.
Dealt with some freight. That's big stuff, you know.
Every day is something, a new challenge that we don't see coming. We're either working with computers or working with heavy cargo.
Mm-hmm.
And
trying to not be injured.
Yeah, that's always key, is trying not to get hurt somehow.
Whether it's carpal tunnel or fractures or whatever it is, we will persevere and be back. So what have you got? What's going on? What's new? What's new with you?
Gosh, well, you know, just another week going by in this whole slowly unwinding nightmare of the political process we're seeing.
Oh, God, isn't it terrible? It's unraveling.
You know, every week I'm waiting for a shoe to drop or someone to throw a shoe or something, and it just doesn't happen. You know, the latest thing was the whole Trump donating money to the veterans and using Veterans Day to bash Mexicans and all kinds of other horrible things like that. And you might say, yeah, he donated $6 million to veterans. But, you know, he didn't really, because it wasn't until the Washington Post ran an article saying, okay, where's all this money? The check was written that day. So something was going on before that. But I didn't see the press conference where he tore into the media. But I imagine there are many press conferences like that in our future. But basically blaming them for something that they were simply reporting. You know, the facts were no money was paid or a lot less than what was promised. So the question was, where's the money? And all of a sudden the checks were written. So clearly, if they hadn't asked that question, I'm sure we'd still be wondering where the money is.
Yeah. Speaking of His Excellence, he's now, he's, I guess, repudiating the whole, what is it, the case against him for Trump University. He's saying the judge is a lousy guy.
It's a Mexican judge.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Mexican judge ruled against him. It's another thing. He's a hater. He's out to get him.
The H word.
And he's Mexican. And the guy is American, for one thing. Has a Hispanic name. Wow, this is really going to be how you report all these things in your life. If it's Hispanic, it's open to suspicion.
So, yes, the indignant, tacky Mr. Trump is pushing back against his fake university right up there with all those other universities in commercials on TV.
Now, I admit I'm a little out of it on this particular part of the story. Where is Trump University? Is there a location? Does it still exist? Is it out of business? Do you know anything about it?
You know, I honestly don't know where it's based. I don't know who their mascot is.
Okay, I'm going to visit Wikipedia. You talk to the folks.
So my sense is that it is essentially they're like seminars, kind of workshops, probably taking place on one of the Trump properties. And I doubt it actually has a physical location. I'm sure they just tell you to go to some hotel or something to take your seminar. Why would he build a building dedicated to this? I mean, I could be wrong. It could be, you know, an actual school, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, well, it no longer exists, according to Wikipedia. It was an American for-profit education company.
Right there, for-profit. That's the problem.
Ran a real estate training program from 2005 until at least 2010, and after multiple lawsuits, it is now defunct. So, okay, and the headquarters were in New York City. I'm so embarrassed that all of this comes down to New York City, that Trump is actually from New York. It's, you know, it's so anti whatever New York stands for, and you know he's never going to win the state of New York in November. But I worry that other people think this is what comes out of New York. Believe me, if it comes out of New York, it's because we kicked it out of New York. And the disadvantage of him losing is that he's going to go back there, too. So that worries me.
I honestly, in my head, associate him more with Vegas and tackiness.
Exactly, yes.
He's tacky. I think, you know, everybody sees that about him. That's the realest thing about him. Mm-hmm. He's tacky.
Yeah. Yeah. And tacky and works, apparently.
I don't know. I mean, I don't associate that with New York as much as I should, I guess, because it really is coming from here.
Well, Times Square. Okay, maybe he's from Times Square.
Right.
I could see him there. That's, you know, standing in that particular corner with the naked cowboy, whatever. That's your turf. But stay out of the East Village, all right? Stay out of Harlem. Stay out of the Bronx.
Don't give him ideas.
Yeah.
We've had our second phone call of the evening. So we're
counting phone calls?
Yeah, we're on our second one. Someone called right away when we started the show. So I guess maybe we'll take phone calls
later. Well, maybe they were trying to tell us that lightning is dangerous.
Or maybe they were struck by lightning.
Or maybe they think that lightning is not dangerous and they want to debate about it.
That's true. You know, maybe they take issue with our lovely public service announcements that we're catching up on.
We shouldn't joke. I mean, lightning is not a laughing matter. Actually, I disagree. Everything is a laughing matter. I cannot stand people that say that's off limits. You can't joke about it. There's nothing you can't joke about. And lightning is right up there. You can joke about lightning. But I do know a lot of people were hit by lightning in Europe this week. So that's not funny. But lightning strikes in general can be made funny with the right, right background.
Europe is not a laughing matter. What do you think about the Brexit thing?
Oh, yeah, you know what? That's coming up. In fact, tomorrow is June, and later in June will be the vote, the referendum in England, as to whether or not they should leave the European Union. And there is a lot of back and forth as to whether or not that's a good idea. I heard 9 out of 10 economists in England, 9 out of 10 expert ones who are consulted, say it would be a catastrophe for their economy. Or it would just be very negative for them. Maybe they didn't use the word catastrophe, but just negative, very negative for their economy if they left the European Union. And, you know, I can't help but think it's a lot of nationalism going on here, a lot of fear of refugees and things like that, kind of stoking the flames of the Brexit movement. That's what they're calling it, BR, exit Brexit. And I don't see that as healthy. Trying to work out the problems, the challenges. This is what a union is for. This is when you find out if it's worth anything, if you can weather the storm. And yeah, there are some storms going on, but people got to get their heads together and work through it. If you just leave every single time, it's never going to work.
I think they should leave.
You think
I really
Britain
do.
Should leave?
I honestly feel they are isolated enough, they are elitist enough, racist, a la, like, Japanese, you know? They're like, you know, Britain or nothing.
Well, being on an island makes you racist.
It doesn't hurt. And the whole royalty thing, the Her Majesty and all that garbledygook. I think the currency's already, I mean, they haven't adopted the euro.
That's true.
The closest connection they have is the Chunnel, is the Eurostar. And frankly, it is that physical separation, being an island. I just don't see them as a part of Europe. And frankly, the EU expanding, taking new members, I would like to see the EU go a little further south. Or change its range a bit, especially when these countries, like the UK, are being indignant and having sort of misgivings about refugees and all of this participation. Granted, the EU has enough of that. I mean, there are plenty of countries that are freaking out. Macedonia closing their borders. Even though they're not in the EU. But my point is, they could be, and they'd be in good company, because there's a lot of people in the EU right now that are having some qualms about it. But I don't think that would be bad for the EU. The EU is something that is an experiment, and it is still growing. And I think by Britain leaving, they'd be better off. I don't think they would be worse for it.
Do you think they would be better off?
I think the EU would be better off.
Oh, the EU would be better off. I agree with that. I think they probably would be.
Britain is doing them a dang bit of good. I really don't. And they can have their economy on their own. I mean, why? They already don't use the currency. They're already elitist and cut off and royal. And, I mean, who cares?
Yeah,
Go away. Go have your little castles.
You know, at times like this, I'm glad that Ireland is independent from England, because I have an Irish passport, and that means I have an EU passport. But if I had a British passport, then it wouldn't be an EU passport anymore if they left.
No, we got all the cool people from that island, but, you know.
Plus, Ireland would then be the only English-speaking state in the EU. Think about that.
That is cool.
Yeah,
that
unless they revert to Gaelic or something.
Well, they don't talk about that. But
oh, they do.
It's always on their minds. Anyway, I was curious, because I don't get misty about Britain leaving. Just leave already. No one cares.
Yeah, well,
EU will be fine without you. They'll get some new members and start taking names again.
Referendums are interesting. Remember last year there was a referendum with Scotland leaving the UK.
Yes, yeah.
And that didn't happen. There's always talk about Quebec leaving Canada. I'd like to see more referendums. Referendums can be fun. I don't know. Can you think of any referendums in this country that we should have? I mean, legalizing pot is one thing for sure that I'd like to see more referendums on. But sometimes when you have referendums, the dimwits basically have more of a say. Even when they're wrong. And yeah, the majority can be wrong, has been in the past. You know, segregation, slavery, all that stuff, majority was for that. When do you step in? When do you say, okay, the majority wants this, but you're not getting it because it's wrong? You know, it's really tough. That's when you have to trust government to get it right. That's why you elect people who are supposedly wise and understand what the actual meaning of the Constitution is and where they should be going and make difficult choices.
Yeah, that reminds me of this guy in Washington who is famous for submitting initiatives. I can't remember his name. I think it's Tim Iman. I'm not sure, though. Anyway, it's basically he just constantly is putting initiatives on the ballot and gets quite a bit of success. He's had a lot of initiatives on the ballot. It's similar to referendums, but you're right. You know, you got to be careful what you wish for. You ask for a referendum on something, you might hear really what the population thinks, and it may not be pretty.
I'd have a referendum about high-speed rail or just rail infrastructure in general. Do you know, last year, it's either last year or the year before that, we spent $1.1 billion on the rail infrastructure in this country. $1.1 billion. Sounds like a lot. Obama wanted $2.5 billion, but Congress said, nah, you're just getting $1.1 billion. Do you know what China spent on their rail infrastructure in that same period? $125 billion. Think about that. Just hold those two numbers up next to each other and ask yourself, who is going to have the better system? Who's going to benefit more from this? Sometimes we are just so dumb and stupid that I run out of words.
You know, I also saw something that was amazing about Chinese infrastructure and what they've built. They've built the largest radio telescope. It's about 500 meters across, huge.
Wow.
And China is going to be basically have the largest ear for and basically the larger your radio telescope is, the more frequency ranges and the further into space you can hear. So yeah, they've nearly completed it in like 5 years or something, but it's a massive dish basically built into a mountain.
If the Chinese found life from another planet, an alien civilization, do you think they'd tell us? Because I know we wouldn't tell them.
Right.
Our country would never tell, and they wouldn't tell the citizens. We'd never know if they found alien culture someplace.
Yeah.
But I wonder, you know, maybe North Korea has already found life on a different planet. In fact, it's kind of like that already there.
My referendum would be against the plastics, the automobiles, plastics / oil, fossil fuel industry, and automobile manufacturers. And I think they should bankroll the trains that you're talking about. Basically, they should be basically coughing up money as much as people are coughing up pollution because of emissions and the amount of profits and war making that has been done as a result. I think that those corporations should be culpable and those profits should be repurposed.
I would have kept the price of gas the same as it was a few years ago. And when things started to plummet, I would have kept the price of gas the same but used the excess money to fund rail infrastructure or something else that also moves you away from dependency on cars or fossil fuels or things like that. And I'm just thinking about this right now. There are so many ways to raise lots of money if you're driven, if you really think something is important. And that's the thing, to get people to think something is important.
Yeah, people got to get around it. They got to think also of their cities as smaller neighborhoods in the larger context of the country. And I know our state system is fantastic for a lot of reasons, but it doesn't lend itself as well to integration. We need to talk to our neighbors and integrate our systems and be more cooperative as the world does get smaller. Anyway, that's my side note on referendums.
I have something interesting. There's this guy. He's the Republican chairman of Suffolk County. We're in Suffolk County right now. This guy is such a clown. I mean, might as well walk around in clown outfits. It wouldn't hurt his image.
What makes him a clown?
Well, he's a big Trump person for one thing. Think about that. The Republican chairman of our county right here, John J. Laval. And he was on CNN last Wednesday. And you know what he said? He said he's seen American flags burned at Hillary Clinton rallies. Yeah, he's going around fanning flames, almost literally, saying things like this. And you know, he learns from the best. This is the kind of thing Trump would say.
What's wrong with that?
And now his little surrogate here in Suffolk County is saying the same thing.
Well, that's what he's got to have his henchmen. Uh-huh. Remember, I was saying this like a year ago.
And these are the people to be really scared of, because some of them are going to know what they're doing. Some of them aren't going to care if they overstep other people's rights or the rules or anything like that. Trump is just the first stage. There's so much more.
And don't forget, they're going to have the secret handshakes and code words and, you know, the jokes that test, you know, what side of the spectrum you're on and all of that. Just get ready for it, people.
So anyway, Laval said, "When I go to a Donald Trump rally, I see the American flags raised. When I go to a Hillary Clinton rally, I see people burning American flags."
What's wrong with that?
"And waving Mexican flags." You really want to have that conversation?
Oh, sorry. I got distracted.
Typical left. We go into a debate about burning American flags, when the point is there was no such thing at Hillary Clinton rallies.
Oh, but there were Mexican flags there.
Who knows? Who knows what kind of flags were where? But the point is, he was pressed. Okay. When did you see a flag burned at a Hillary Clinton rally?
At a Trump rally.
He said the American flag was burned at a Hillary Clinton rally.
Okay.
That's the point.
Right.
So he said to Newsday, our local paper here, Long Island paper, he said he misspoke and intended to say that he has seen the American flag being burned by Clinton and Bernie Sanders supporters outside Trump rallies. He said he has seen those pictures online. Well, you know, Laval, what I would say to you is, how do you know those weren't Trump supporters burning the flag at Trump rally? I mean, is that a Trump rally? If you're going to basically say that people are responsible for what happens at their rallies, well, then Trump is responsible for that. I mean, you could easily turn that around. Point is, these people are going out saying things that are flagrantly false, trying to incite all kinds of emotional backlash. And when pressed, there's no factual evidence whatsoever.
It's reckless.
Absolutely reckless.
It's reckless as heck.
Uh-huh. Anyway, just to clarify, we have a stadium here at Stony Brook named Laval Stadium. People, don't go to that stadium and start bonfires or deface it or you know, do anything that wrecks any of the things that go on in Laval Stadium, because that's a different Laval.
You would never say that. You would never suggest that.
It's not John J. Laval. If it was John J. Laval Stadium, I would be advocating that and a lot more. But it's Kenneth Laval Stadium. Kenneth Laval is John J. Laval's cousin, and I'm not sure how proud he is of that fact, but he is a he's actually from Port Jefferson, which is right around the corner from here, and he is a I believe a former state senator, and I'm not exactly sure what his political role is right now.
And he doesn't talk to that side of the family.
He is worthy of having a stadium named after him, but this okay. guy, oh my God, you know. Throw him out of a bus or something. That's what they should have done when he was growing up. I don't know. This is just, it's so frustrating and annoying to see all these things being bandied about in the media as if they are true when they're not, when there's no evidence whatsoever of the kinds of things that they accuse people of.
But the media's right there to be the echo chamber for it.
Exactly.
Too. I mean, look at us. I'm not going to critique the conversation we're having, but I will say that we don't help it by marveling and being so surprised or thinking it's cute or funny. It's not. It's stupid. It's
not
a waste.
Cute. It's not funny. Reckless. It's scary. But the thing is, if you don't talk about it, what happens then?
People feel it's real.
It also sneaks up on you. You know,
yeah,
And you don't know how it got that far. Kind of like where we are right now. So, yeah, that's what we're looking at. I don't know what the next... Well, obviously, things are going to get kind of heated over the summer. Cleveland is going to be a very interesting place in July. We've seen the demonstrations. Almost every city that Trump has spoken in, in fact, not every city that Trump has spoken in, has had demonstrations outside during the time that he's speaking. In fact, we saw something in San Diego last week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
This was pretty disgusting, I thought. You had a couple of hundred demonstrators, and you had more than twice the number of cops in full riot gear and troops, you know, people in camouflage.
Yeah, those are National Guardsmen, and I saw that. I think I know what you're talking about. They had a line of cops in riot gear, and then they had the guys in green behind them, and that is National Guard.
That is just so wrong.
Yeah.
How dare these people line up in combative prose like that against people who are simply exercising their freedom of speech?
And when you look at the layers of that, and this is the thing. I keep looking at these protests, and look, we saw it in the last couple of years around the world, revolutions and all of these things, just the tools on each side.
Mm-hmm.
But if you looked at that line, the cops had shields and batons.
Yeah.
The batons are in their hand.
Yeah.
So you get to them, they're going to beat you.
Like, or they get to you.
Or they get to you, they're going to beat you.
Yeah.
They are going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And what's right behind them? National Guardsmen with live ammunition, I'm sure, in their rifles.
And for what? For a bunch of people holding signs?
Yeah.
I mean, really, are we that afraid of the people? This is only going to get worse with the militarization of police and horrible things like Donald Trump coming down the road. But the thing is, a lot of people were pointing to, I think, something happened in New Mexico the night before, where there was, they call it violent protest. It wasn't violent protest. There was some vandalism, people throwing bottles. You know, people fail to realize when they throw water bottles, okay? Have you seen a water bottle lately? They're made out of plastic, okay?
Yeah.
When you throw a water bottle, unless it's full of water, it's not going to hurt at all.
Or
okay?
If it's frozen.
Yeah, okay, and I doubt it is in New Mexico.
True.
So, okay, yeah, people are technically throwing bottles. Big whoop. It doesn't matter that much. It's healthy expression of being pissed off. And you need to let people do that, or they're going to express themselves in much, much louder ways. Look at some demonstrations in other countries. Look at Europe. Look at Barcelona. Look at Paris just in the last week. People are burning columns of tires in the street. We need to do that. We need to teach the police a lesson. We need to light some things on fire and tell them this is how we express ourselves. And we're still not violent. We're still not hurting anybody. You back off. You stop with the helmets and the batons and the live ammunition. You know, because we are more powerful in the end.
Yeah, it's true.
They need to hear that. We need to stop being so timid. And you know, the media, the worst offenders, saying how the police are showing remarkable restraint.
Oh,
no,
it's disgusting.
They're not showing remarkable restraint. If they're marching down the street like a bunch of Nazis, no, that's not restraint. That's
thuggery.
Intimidation, thuggery. You want to know who the thugs are in the street, Donald Trump? No, they're not the black guys. They're not the Mexicans. They're the police.
Yep.
All right? And if you need to do that to the public, then there is some serious discontent out there you need to address.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not doing that. They're just trying to intimidate people. And I'll tell you, I don't think people in Cleveland, when they get to Cleveland, are going to be that intimidated. I think you're going to see some real surprising reactions. Not surprising to us, but surprising to a lot of America. Don't believe what the media says about this. It's just so disgusting how they're fawning over police, intimidating people, instead of asking the people, what is it that you want to say? What, you know,
are
give
you
them
okay?
A voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's really, really sick, because the commentators always talk about the police in the most glowing terms, and they almost narrate as though they're watching like a sports like event,
right?
You know, and they're rooting for the home team, and they're basically calling it play by play, but they love the home team, and all they do is congratulate and compliment the cops for being thugs.
Now, you may think from what I just said that I'm anti-police. I'm not anti-police. I know people who are anti-police. I'm not one of them. I believe police should be there to serve the people, to help the people, to protect the people. And none of that is going on in these situations. It's wrong. It needs to be stopped. We need to raise our voices and stop it, because otherwise it's just going to keep getting worse. And, you know, you see the media saying things like, oh, my God, that guy has a gas mask on, who's a demonstrator. He's going to be up to something. Yeah, you know what? He's going to want to breathe, because the cops are going to be shooting tear gas and pepper spray and all kinds of horrible things at them. They need to protect themselves.
Yeah,
you have
right.
every right to protect yourself against that kind of thing. You don't have to just sit there and take it.
Yeah.
And the other thing about that, I believe it was in New Mexico, you see pictures of all the tear gas in the air. The police said, no, we didn't use tear gas. All the media said tear gas was not used, because the police said they didn't use it, when there's clear evidence they did. You know? It's just the cops say something and it becomes gospel, and that's just unhealthy.
Yeah, they're always – the commentators point at people with equipment, masks, bandanas. Oh, they're covering their face. And I've heard pundits sort of criticize that. Oh, they don't show their face. They're cowards, you know, if they're really going to protest. No. No, you don't have to show your face if you're going to protest.
Absolutely not.
You're going to be harassed. You know, you'll be if not sort of cased out or whatever, investigated or made to be, you know, some kind of bad actor on some terror activist list or something. You'll be singled out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason people cover their faces. Why do the cops cover their faces?
I've
you know?
Seen how cops behave. I, you know, RNC in 2004, I've seen the way they just target random people and are violent. And, you know, you may not agree with this, but I think whatever the cops fire at you, you have every right to fire right back at them.
Yeah.
Right? And if they're going to step it up, well, then people are going to step it up in return. Where does that get us? I'm against that. I'm against that kind of escalation.
Right.
But we can't just sit back and take it. It's
wrong.
We should
be equals, and we ought not to sit back and take it, or just wait for someone else to act and, like, have these ad hoc sort of flare-ups of enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think people get it. You know, the cops come there all rah-rah, rowdy, ready to get aggressive and be physical with people. They're not, you know, coming there to see who they can protect and, you know, and look out for and protect, you know, mm-hmm. serve as citizens. They look at anybody who isn't a cop as the enemy mm-hmm. in that context, in that event.
Absolutely.
And they're going to target all of you as the same thing, as an enemy. You will all be bashed with the same amount of gusto. When and people that go to these things, bless them, they go anyway.
Yeah, can you imagine?
To be heard. Like, we sit and watch it. We hear about it. We report on it. But you have to feel for these people that are incredibly dedicated just to be there mm-hmm. and voice their concerns. And I'll add one more thing. Tear gas and a lot of those things, I remember this from the WTO in Seattle. That's a chemical weapon.
Yeah,
we don't use that in war, but it's legal for cops.
Yeah, and I think it's legal to throw it right back in their faces because that kind of thing is an attack on peaceful people.
Yes,
and it's unconscionable.
Yes,
and I've been in situations. I mentioned RNC 2004. You know what happened to me back then as a journalist standing on the sidewalk, mm-hmm. Arrested for 2.5 days. Or held for 2.5 days. But I've been in other situations, too, various protests in New York where I was basically observing, not even participating, having cops with batons smacking people on the sidewalks. I got hit in the knee by a baton. I wasn't doing anything, but I'm supposed to just take that. You know, I should have belted the guy. But if I had done that, all of a sudden, oh, my God, he hit a cop. Yeah. Cops are not gods. OK, they're human beings. And this is something you see. If you ever watch a demonstration in Europe, you see that cops are human beings. You see that sometimes they get hit back. Sometimes you feel sorry for them because they're not Darth Vader, you know, and that's more of an equal footing type of thing. What we're building here in this country is not equal. It's something, it's like an occupation.
Well, and what it does is create fear. So anybody who does go mm-hmm. becomes afraid and then won't come to subsequent events because they know that force will be there as a response to their freedom.
Right.
And then you get less people turning out, less people asking questions, less people opposing, and then you just have, utopia.
Yeah.
The authoritarian utopia that is totalitarianism or whatever the heck we're doing.
You remember the cop that stopped us in Seattle last time we were there?
Oh, man, she was great.
She was great. This was amazing. You got pulled over, and this cop immediately calmed the situation down, saying, hey, I just wanted to warn you that your lights are dim, something like that. Just, you know, you're always nervous when a cop pulls you over, and you have to stop. You have to show your papers and things like that, but they set the tone by the way they address you, and to immediately talk to us in a friendly style, you know, and not that fake friendly style that we all know is nonsense.
Yeah.
That changes everything, and you become proud of those people serving and helping, and you want to help them. And that's what you need. You need more people that the community knows, you know, people who, I guess, walk beats like they used to. You know the cop's name, who lives in your area and serves your area, and you don't want anything to happen to him, and you don't want to run afoul of him either, or her. Yeah.
No, that was great. Shout out to the Washington State Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
Love those.
In that case.
Love those troopers. Yeah, no, they're good people. I've found in my dealings with the state troopers, they're some of the best, uh-huh. I think. I'm not saying they aren't racist, although I don't have any direct experience.
You can't say it about anybody.
And definitely the Seattle police, I think, are pretty top-notch, but they've had their own run-ins as far as being racist and moronic. But I think a lot of the smaller departments, barring King County Sheriff, they're all right, but they're busy with meth labs out in the country. But, yeah, the sheriff does all that. But, like, these small town city cops around Seattle, I think, are the worst. Uh-huh. They're the worst. They're terrible, terrible people. And no good. Although, I've had some do some good in my life, uh-huh. I think.
Well, sometimes you are in the wrong. You have to realize that, too. Sometimes you are doing something that is wrong.
Yep.
And you do wind up being caught by the cops, and they still need to treat you fairly, but sometimes you're wrong and they're right. And I see that. I recognize that. But that's not at all what we're talking about here. We're talking about something that is just a sickness. that I've seen spreading for the last 10, 20 years, along with the proliferation of guns. That's another thing. You know, all these NRA people that say we have to have our guns for the sake of guarding against tyranny. Hey, here's your tyranny right here. Where are you? You know, you're not part of the fight against that at all, because you just want your guns for whatever purpose you want them for, not for the greater good.
So right.
It's got nothing to do with that.
You're
at least
too,
admit it.
Too busy picking up your girl from dance lessons or whatever. You know, with your gun under the seat to go and protest. Yeah. And you know what's also interesting is that these cops then go and join these teams as a sort of a, just like they'd go to maybe an event or mm-hmm. a baseball game or something, but they're not in their local city. They're not in their community. They're grafted into this fighting situation at a particular event. To, like, quote, maintain security, so that they shed the sort of local uniform and become part of this security apparatus that is temporary and not accountable.
They did the same tactic at Tiananmen Square. They had local soldiers and police guarding the square until the bloodshed started, the massacre.
Yeah.
And then they moved, I believe they were from Outer Mongolia, troops that had no allegiance to the people there at all. And they knew something was wrong as soon as they saw their faces. And they did not recognize them. They did not sympathize with the demonstrators at all.
Yep.
They were hard. They were there to crack heads, and that's exactly what they did. So, yeah, when you see that kind of maneuver, that's generally what it is.
Yep.
That's what it's for.
Yeah, that's actually the National Guard, sort of the friendliest form of that. When they show up, they're like a little bit local. They might be familiar with New York, but you know, it just escalates and they get more foreign from there.
We saw a guest on Trevor Noah's show who was a former cop, and he kept saying that most cops are good. And I agree, most cops are good. He was saying 90% of the cops are good. That sounds like a nice statement, but when you consider there was, 35,000 NYPD cops? He's saying that basically there are 3,500 bad NYPD cops walking the streets with all their weaponry.
And that's not a, like, slightly bad, maybe didn't do the paperwork.
No,
or
no.
Took a little money or you know, some drugs went missing when they were confiscated or some corrupt bribe
it's
or something.
Amadou Diallo bad.
These are, like, bad, bad dudes. That's, like... Hey, what, 4,000? Okay, what do we got?
Speaking of bad dudes, I want to read you the story quickly.
Yes, yes.
This guy from Westbury was charged on Friday with breaking into a supermarket and stealing an ATM, then loading it onto a stolen yellow minibus and hauling it to Queens. I'm sorry, but there's something about that I respect. This guy, how many crimes did he commit there? He broke into a supermarket. That's one, okay? Then he steals an ATM from the supermarket and loads it onto a stolen school bus. He stole the school bus first, broke into the supermarket, got the ATM, and he probably like used the HOV lane, too, when he was driving. This guy is badass, but he was caught. 61 years old, too. So that's the kind of crime we got here on Long Island. But one other Long Island note, and I guess we're going to close on this.
Sure.
Because I was kind of scared about hearing this. I saw on Twitter, yes, you know, I subscribe to the Donald Trump Twitter feed. I saw this tweet. Thank you, Billy Joel. Many friends just told me you gave a very kind shout out at MSG, Madison Square Garden. Appreciate it. Love your music. Well, then I sent out a tweet, which apparently really got several hundred retweets, which is kind of funny. I don't expect that, saying that I was prepared to burn my Billy Joel vinyl right there on the spot if I did not get some kind of clarification as to what actually was going on there. Did Billy Joel really just give Donald Trump a very kind shout out? And no, in fact, he was the butt of his joke, and Donald Trump did not realize it.
Dim, tacky Donald Trump.
He played a song that kind of describes Donald Trump to a T. And we're going to close with this particular song about the insincerity of show business and how plastic it all is and how fleeting it all is. And one can only hope that this is one of those fleeting moments. But when you listen to the words of The Entertainer by Billy Joel, think of none other than Donald Trump, and the thought will be complete. OTW at 2600.com. That's our address. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
am the entertainer, and I know just where I stand. Another serenader and another long-haired band. Today I am your champion. I may have won your hearts, but I know the game, you forget my name, and I won't be here in another year if I don't stay on the charts. Ooh. I am the entertainer, and I've had to pay my price. Things I did not know at first, I learned by doing twice. Ah, but still they come to haunt me, still they want their say. So I've learned to dance with a hand in my pants, let them rub my neck, and I write them a check, and they go their merry way. Ooh. I am the entertainer, been all around the world. I played all kinds of palaces, laid all kinds of girls. After a while and a thousand miles, it all becomes the same. I am the entertainer, I bring to you my songs. I'd like to spend a day or two, I can't stay that long. No, I got to meet expenses, I got to stay in line. And I'd love to stay, but there's bills to pay, so I just don't have the time.